Somebody might ask this question. Why? Why should I hear this voice upon all my commitments in the church? Why should I hear this voice, though a celebrated giant in the Lord? Why should I hear this voice? Now, I want to tell you why somebody can hear this voice. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. 2 Timothy, he says, similarly, if anybody competes as an athlete, if any preacher, if any pastor, if any missionary, if any elder, deacon, if any knight, whatever title you go by, if anybody called Christian, he says, if anybody's an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown. He doesn't receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Listen, my friend. There is a rule. Do you know there is a constitution for people who want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, look at the constitution. The constitution is not your denominational constitution. The constitution is not your denominational bylaw. The constitution for people who want to go to heaven is not necessarily your church dogma. The constitution for people who want to go to heaven is nothing but the Bible. It's the constitution. And listen, Paul succinctly declares, if anybody competes, he cannot win the victor's crown except he competes according to the rules. I'm glad it's not the deacons that have the judgment. They would have passed through because of the heavy tithe you pay. I'm glad it's not the presbyters that will decide whether you go to heaven. Your uncle there could favor you, or your godfather. But God, who will not look at anybody's face, has reserved the judgment unto himself. Now, I like to pick that. Many months ago, in a nation out Nigeria, a man went into an election. He won. When he won, he went also to a higher one and won. But to my greatest surprise, this popular man who won, because I know election is popularity contest, whether in the sacred or secular world, he cried. He was disgraced out of the place. Why? Why? Because he did not compete according to the rules. According to the rules. I still remember those athletes. Somebody will say, on your marks, get ready, go. People will rush. And I still remember, it's still fresh in my mind. Somebody who reached the place first. People were clapping, 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 clapping. Say, yes, yes, our man, you are the first. But do you know the surprising thing? Those who clapped were not the umpire. The same thing is happening today. People who clap for you are not the final judge. They are not. People who clap for you. People who tell you you are doing well. That's why you don't need to believe the praises of people. When people praise you, don't believe it. Yes, they are praising you from the perspective, from human perspective. But God knows you. He knows you more than they do. And so, the umpire will come and say, all right, you reached first. You read the line first. But you are not the first because you did not compete according to the rules. You went into another person's track. Therefore, you are disqualified. Do you know our problem today? Out of the track, but still in the church. There are people who are out of the track long time ago, but they are still on the pulpit. Out of the track, they have lost the glory. They have lost the spirit. They are no more holy. They are no more pure. They are still carrying holy communion. There are people who are no more there, but they are still singers. They are still singers going from place to place, experts, talents. out of the track, but still in the church. That is the virus, the end time virus. Out of the track, but they are still popular. Out of the track, but everybody thinks they are number one. I know one surprise in heaven is that some people will think will be number one. You go there and you will not discover them. They say, where is his brother? It's a pity he couldn't make it. Why? Nobody knew. All the while, he was out of the track, but he's still in the church. Brother, are you out of the track? If you're out of the track, be sure. Satan is preparing to make this comment before you. So, you later came here. If anybody competes, he cannot win. You cannot win. You cannot get the victor's crown. When the Lord shall come, we shall wear a crown. The saints shall be taken away. But there will be missing saints. Missing. Those who will be missing. In that rally that is coming, the intercontinental rally, the interdispensational rally, somebody will be missing. Somebody will be missing. Out of the track, but still in the church. That is the reason. Out of the track, but still very much in the church. You are still in charge. You are still handling your position. But I remember. Do you know that woman who stole a god and sat on the god? Are you like that? You are still sitting on that your god, and you are still in the church. You are still sitting on iniquity, hidden iniquity, but you are sitting on it and you are still relaxed as if nothing has happened. The devil is preparing for a coming. So, you later came here. Yes. Paul had this fear. Paul was a genuine Christian. Paul. He was very careful. And I'd like to show you the fears of Paul. If you get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 24. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's get back. Let me show you the fears of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm reading from 24. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but one gets the prize? Be sure everybody will not get the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Look at that word. Strict training. Strict training. You will hear that the athlete, they went to camp. The eagles, they went to camp. What does it mean? So that they get into strict training. Sometimes, because you want to succeed, you will not eat what you want to eat. Because you want to succeed, you will not go where you want to go. You will restrict yourself. And he said, they do this to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Are you into strict training? He said, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No. Paul said, I beat my body. Another translation said, I buffet my body. I slap my body. I chain my body. I make it my slave. Do you know why you're still having problem? Your body is not yet your slave. Instead of your body being your slave, your body is ruling you. Your body, your desires, they are ruling you. When they tell you fornicate. When they tell you to drink, you go and drink, you become a drunkard. When they tell you to smoke, you go and smoke. Yes. And anybody, any person whose body will rule and control must surely hear this voice. So, you later came here. Paul said, I beat my body. I said, my body, come on, sit here. You desire many things. You want to eat many things. You want to drink many things. You want to enjoy many things. But my body, if I allow you to control me, you will lead me to hell. If I allow you to control me, you will lead me to a place where I will hear the voice. So you later came here. Therefore, my body, come here. I will not take you where you want me to go. I will not eat what you want me to eat. I will not enjoy what you want me to enjoy. Because I have a purpose. I am a dual citizen. I have a hope. I have another world in view. I have a place where I am going. My body, you can't bring me back. My body, I have a purpose. My body, I am not running aimlessly. Paul said, why am I saying all these things? So that after I must have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Oh God. After I must have preached to others, after I must have taught a Sunday school class, After I must have preached in a crusade, preaching a revival. After I must have pastored a church. After I must have led a department. After I must have been a worker in the church. I myself will not be a castaway. Look at what Paul said. And I want to believe. Paul had what he was looking for. Look at what he said. He continued in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, and he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this fact. Brothers, our forefathers were under the cloud. They passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. They ate spiritual food. Have you eaten spiritual food before? They drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock. In other words, if I may put it in my own word, they had mighty experiences. They had great, deep, and deeper spiritual experiences. But look at what happened to them. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. They became spiritual casualties. They died. They perished. Oh God. Yes. Let me say this. Hell cannot be complete if no pastor goes to hell. Hell cannot be complete if no general overseer goes to hell. If no singer goes to hell, then hell cannot be complete. Hell cannot be complete if no worker, if no engineer goes to hell, hell cannot be complete. Let me ask you, will you represent your colleague in hell? Please help me ask your neighbor, will you represent your colleague in hell? Are you the person that will represent your colleague in hell? You may say, God forbid. Yes. Somebody must test the truth and finally go to hell. Somebody must preach this word, and after preaching it, and he goes to hell. Somebody must be a church person. That is the essence of this message. Why? Because he doesn't want to compete according to rule. Paul said, God forbid. Anything it will cost me, my God. Any price I will eat. Now, look at what Jesus said himself. He said, if your eye will cause you to go to hell, pluck it out. Pluck it out. You know, sometimes we are deceived with what we are doing for God. What you are doing for God is good, but it is not as important as your relationship with God. Take it again. What I am doing for God, whether preaching, whether singing, whether anything you are doing, giving money, you are doing for God is okay. It's good to the glory of God. But it's not as important as your relationship with God. If you see doing anything for God and your relationship is maintained, at least you can go to heaven. But if you do this, be busy here and there, going from place to place, so much so, hey, I remember something. The barrenness of a busy life. The barrenness of a busy life. Do you know somebody can be busy, greatly busy, but spiritually he is barren. Dried up. And how can I be busy for God? In the neglect of my spiritual relationship with God. And at last, I will miss heaven. The purpose, the reason, my goal, my ultimate goal, and go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. We must make up our mind. Anything that will make us to hear this word, anything that will make us to go where we vowed not to go. Let me tell you, do you know? When you come and bind the devil, I bind you, I cancel you. The devil says, bind on. I'm still waiting for you at the junction of temptation. You come to the church, you jump. I kill you. I thunder you. I scatter you. I squeeze you. And you go out, you commit fornication. You come back to the church again. I scatter you. Devil, you are a thief. Devil, you are a criminal. And the devil will be laughing. Well, I know who I'm waiting for you. You also go, you tell a lie. After all these calculations, do you know there are now people living in sin and they are still in the church? I don't mean falling into sin. I mean living, swimming in the ocean of iniquity. Let me tell you something. I wish you could see me now. I wish this was a video. You will see the illustration I want to keep. By my right hand, I'm handling a bottle of swan water. And by my left is a cup, a glass cup. This glass cup represents your life. And by my right hand, handling swan water represents the hand of God. You are in the church. You sing in the choir. You stole. Nobody saw you. You are still jumping up. God saw you. He poured something in your cup. And you are jumping. I am a heavenly candidate. I'm going to heaven. In fact, I will be number one in heaven. I will have 35,000 crowns. You went there and committed adultery. Nobody saw you. God saw you. He poured another thing into your cup. You are still jumping. But listen, your cup is getting full. You also went to fall, committed abortion. He saw you. You hid it from me. God poured another thing into your cup. You did another one, he poured into your cup. You did another one, he poured into your cup. Listen to me. I have a message for you. Thus says the Lord. Any moment from now, you will commit that one you're planning to commit. There is one you are planning to commit. You have finalized your plans. You are about going to do it. You will do it. And the Lord will say, I can no longer endure this. He will lift up his hand. Pour! In your cup, and the cup will get filled, and the Lord will say, enough is enough, and he will pour the cup outside. Throw it away, and that will be the end. And then you'll find yourself in hell, and the devil will look at you, and the devil will say, so you later came here. Listen, when we reach there, will you be found there? The Lord is coming, oh, he's coming, he's coming. It's not a joke. He's coming. It's not a joke. But do you know the better time to backslide is at the ninth hour? So that before the ninth hour, you must have come back to the Lord. Another good time to backslide is the sixth hour. So that before the ninth hour, you are back. Or you might even backslide at the ninth hour so that before the tenth hour, you come back. Or even a risk, though a risk, but you can even backslide at the 10th hour. So that before the 11th hour, you are back. But do you know the most foolish person is somebody who backslide at the 11th hour? At the 0 hour. I wish you started a carnal person and you are ending in the spirit. Than for you to start as a spiritual person, fearing nothing in your life but sin, rejecting iniquity. And now that the curtain is about to be drawn, things you rejected before, you step into them. You become a compromiser. You become a secret sinner. And you are no more conscious of the fact that heaven is real, that hell is real. Listen, how are you so foolish to backslide at this 11th hour? All the things you have suffered, everything Christianity costs you, now, you are missing them all. You are stepping into them. What is wrong with you? Are you possessed? Why did they allow the devil to so overwhelm you? Why? Why are you anxious? Why do you want to hear this voice so you later came here? Why? Is it your Lord? The good will of God is to give you the kingdom. He wants you to make heaven. He wants you to go. But there is somebody, the devil, he has decided, he has vowed that he will ask you, he will tell you on that day, so you later came here. And so somebody must make up his mind. That was what Paul said. He said, I buffet my body. I pay the price. I pay the price. And I thank God that at the end of the day, he made a comment. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy, I like that comment upon me. I like to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Yes. He says something at the end of his life. After all the struggles. You remember there was a time he said, things I hate to do, I see myself practicing them. Things I don't want to practice, they come my way. Who shall deliver me from this path? He said, I thank God for Jesus Christ. But did Paul actually succeed? Did he finish up fine? Look at his glorious comment. And I think this is the most important comment that a dying man can make. He said in verse 6, 2 Timothy 4, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. I am already being poured out. And the time of my departure has come." Oh God. He was alive and he was conscious of the time of his departure. And in our culture and in other culture, the last word of a man is very, very important. People would like to listen to what he said when he was dying. Paul said, "The time of my departure has come." There are people when they are dying, they will make confessions. There are people when they are dying, they will regret, "I wish I had done this. I wish I had accomplished this." But look at this hero. Look at how this hero ended. This was his last words. He said, "I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time of my departure has come." He said, "I have fought the good fight." We are born for war, and he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, where the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearance." Wonderful. Paul, he reviewed his life. He knew that death is imminent. He described his Christian life in those words. He considers life as a good fight. And for you to fight a good fight, it means you won. Listen. Today, where are you? Where are you? Listen, there are three persons that will not be surprised. Three persons will not be surprised. While others may be surprised, God will not be surprised. He has put the conscience. David was writing and he said, "God, probe me. God, probe me. If I probe myself, I'll find myself worthy. God, probe me, probe me. Probe me, examine me, God." It looks like if you are told to go and audit yourself. But he said, "God, probe me." David said, "Probe me." The song said, "We cannot hide it from God. Though I may cover my sins, so but nobody may see. I cannot hide it from God." God knows you. He knows you. The Bible said, "A day shall come when the secret of every heart shall be let known." Everybody's secret shall be let known. A day shall come. A day shall come. Listen, if you confess your sin, God will cover it. But if you cover your sin, God will expose it. If you confess your sin, then the Lord will cover it. He will cleanse it. But if you cover it, God will expose it. God will not be surprised that you went to hell finally. Because he knows how long the Spirit of God has been moving in you. You know how far. You know how far. Every day the Spirit will move you. Now let me tell you one thing about this Spirit. Sometimes when you begin to commit a habit, you know, commit a sin, it becomes a habit. Now, because it's now a habit, your conscience may no longer begin to blame you as at the original time when you had not made a habit. It's now a part of you. Your conscience will become weak and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And the Igbo man will say, "Arala baafo, ya omena." In other words, when an abomination continues, it becomes a sort of culture. That is why. And God knows you. He knows you properly. He knows your tricks. Ah, brother, fast guy. You are a fast guy now. You are. If you appear before any panel, any committee, you can present your fast logically. Now you have the logic. You know how to pray. You know how to. You are swift, fast guy. You know how to convince everybody. But listen, there is somebody who knows you. Somebody knows you. He knows your name. He knows your secret. He knows what you did last week. He knows what you did last month. You can't hide it from him. Ah, listen. Do you recognize that God is omnipresent? He is everywhere. In that dark room, in that hotel, in that dark place, in that corner, in that office, in that road, in that car where you robbed somebody, God was there. The eyes of the Lord go through and through. He knows you. What am I saying? I still insist. God will not be surprised if you go to hell. God will not be surprised. He knows you. How long he been warning you? You go to this program, the message will be directed to you. Even as you're listening to this cassette, the message is directed to you. Listen, there are the people I've been directing. The other song you are listening to directed the message to you, and you are still here you are. What do you want God to do again? He knows you. He knows you. He knows you. So he will not be surprised that you finally finished in hell. Now, another person that will not be surprised is the devil. He will not be surprised. And let me tell you, he has no other assignment. The devil has no other assignment except to reduce you to nothingness. I still remember the word that Delilah used to Samson. He said, "What shall I do to you and you become like any other man? What shall, in fact, you are too tough. You are very powerful. What shall I do to you and you become like any other man?" Friends, I see the devil speaking through the light. And I still see the devil speaking today. You are a giant. You have disgraced the devil. You are a mighty warrior. The devil is going about holding nocturnal meetings. The devil has been setting subcommittee upon subcommittee. And what they are intent? What shall we do to reduce you to any other man? To make you an ordinary man. To make you an ordinary man. That is his assignment. And so, if he is in that business, somebody today must make up his mind. And that person that will not be surprised if you go to hell is yourself. You know, if you're going to hell, you know. Because at the judgment of God, somebody must say, "God, your judgment is just. I know that I'm wrong." Nobody will argue with God. But if these things are so, Reverend, my intention today is not just to tell you that you are going to go to hell. I don't wish that you perish. That's not my intention. That's not the intention of this message. This message should spur us into action. This message is supposed to make us say, "Come shine." Let me refer to what Paul said. He said, "Since I know that these things are so, but there are people who started very well and they ended and fell in the and ended on the way." He said, "I then buffet my body." In other words, I tax myself. I discipline myself. Anything that will lead me to hell, I stop it. Anything that will make me end in disgrace, I stop it. Anything that will make me not to run according to the rule, I stop it. Anything that will take me out of the track, I stop it. Make up your mind. And the Bible says, let nobody take your crown. And I want to say this. God has prepared a special crown for you and I. Let's make up our mind today. Say, nothing will take away my crown. Even if I'm going to heaven with one leg, let nothing take away my crown. Let no nothing. Money should not take away my crown. Marriage should not take away my crown. Prosperity should not take away my crown. Poverty should not take away my crown. Make up your mind to go to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven, but the devil wants to make the comment, so you later came here. Which one will you decide? Bow your heads in prayer. This is a time of prayer. I don't know if you are a backslider. I don't know if you want to give your life to Jesus. What we're talking about is different from going to church and having title. So you later came here. Forbid it, God. How can I run this race here and hear this voice? God, don't let me hear it. Don't let me hear it. Probe me now, God. Probe me this day. Probe me. Test my way. foxes in my life. That breaks the vow. Those little foxes, God. Little foxes in my life. Pull them out. I don't want to stop so far, God. I don't want to end in hell. I am an enemy of the devil. If I go to hell, it will be terrible. God, I've disgraced the devil so much. If I go to hell, it will be terrible. But I know you are able to keep me from falling. You are able to keep me. You kept Abimelech from sinning against you. The battle is not for the swift. God, if you leave me alone, I'll be disgraced too. Let your grace come upon me. Let me pray. Ancient of Days, I give you the glory. I praise you for this day. Look at this message. Look at us. Look at every one of us. Help us to finish up well like Paul. Don't allow us to go to hell and hear the word. So you later came here. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.